You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Friday, final podcast of the week here at Locked On Pelicans. We're going to have some fun. We're going to kind of cover a lot of ground in some weird ways today. Obviously going to preview the game tomorrow night against Minnesota, one of two games left against them, and talk about the importance of this game more than anything because, frankly, the Pelicans have already lost two to this team, both at home. You need to try and get these two wins, even on the road, to try and even up the playoff race. Potential tiebreakers there with the Timberwolves. Want to talk about something that was kind of inspired by the Warriors and Rockets playing last night. Obviously, I'm recording this before the game was played, so I don't have the results of that, but we're not going to talk about that. This goes back to something from about 2 weeks ago that I meant to talk about on the time, but holidays and everything kind of sidelined me. And that's a quote from Daryl Morey, something he said to the then Ryan Russillo show. We'll talk about that, kind of what it means to the Pelicans, or does it even mean anything at all, as well as other topics here in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So we're going to start leading off with Daryl Morey here, the GM of the Houston Rockets, a guy I really like as a GM. I think almost out of anyone in the league, I'd pick him to run my, you know, hypothetical expansion, the New Orleans Jakes franchise here, if I could pick anyone and had unlimited money about it, of course. And he said something interesting. This is back on December 22nd. I remember listening to this at the time and thinking it was refreshingly honest and kind of awesome that he would say this. And then when asked basically about the Warriors, he said, "It's the only thing we think about. I think I'm not supposed to say that, but we're basically obsessed with beating the Warriors." Said, not they've calculated it, 90%, it's like 90% if we're going to win a title, we've obviously got to beat the Warriors at some point. So we're extremely focused on that. A lot of our signings and what we do during the year is based on that. And he went on a little bit further saying, "I don't know why you do anything else. Like, what's the point of this league except winning a title? So we'd love to get the one seed. We'd love to win more games than any in Rockets history. Those are all nice things, but frankly, we spend most of our time just figuring out how we might just knock the Warriors out in seven games, because we're pretty sure that's what's going to define our season." And this ties back into, as I move the mic around here, sorry for the background noise, a little bit about what was in Scott Kushner's article that we talked about earlier in the week, the one where I was more talking about building a connection to the city. But the article there really dives into this franchise thinking about tomorrow, just like simply making it one day at a time. And all the moves they've made has kind of had that in mind and just spinning the wheels a little bit. And then you've got a GM here who obviously has more job security and a better track record than Dell Demps does, out there planning very, very far ahead. This guy in the offseason was planning for a seven-game series with the Warriors to try and make it. Now, you know, it just is to highlight the differences in approaches that these two franchises are taking. Now, you could say that, well, maybe, you know, the Rockets have higher expectations, kind of different goals than the Pelicans do. The Pelicans might be content with just getting to the playoffs and getting swept by the Warriors. I don't know if that's fair because, frankly, when you have Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Drew Holiday, and you're supposedly got this big three, shouldn't your expectations be higher? The second you drafted Anthony Davis, doesn't the goal become winning a title? The over-unders, when it came to with him being drafted, was you probably 1.5 on how many titles New Orleans would win, meaning do they win just one or more than one? And that was the big question. It wasn't an over-under of 0.5, so zero titles or at least one title. It was basically the minimum expectation was going to be one. This guy was such a game changer and a franchise changer, and the team hasn't done enough to build around him. Instead, like I said, spinning the wheels, trying to just make it one more day, one more season. Not what the Rockets are doing. And don't forget, they've had their star for a while and have managed to consistently put great players around him. And it's not like they had tons of salary cap money and were able just to go willy-nilly signing tons of people. They gave big money deals out and, you know, two seasons ago to Eric Gordon, to Ryan Anderson, and have had to kind of work it out since then. Also, they're getting far more production out of those guys than New Orleans ever had or had the ability to potentially. Now, part of that's due to mindset and those players very clearly trying a little bit harder there. But it just, again, goes to show you. But I love the honesty with Daryl Morey and what he's saying, and wish almost the Pelicans would take the same approach. When was the last time you heard general manager Del Demps speak? Exactly. He's not out there on radio giving interviews, talking about kind of the team building, the mentality. This is how I think you can get even more fans on board. Fans like the transparency. I think most people like hearing Morey say this, saying that it keeps him, almost keeps him up at night, wondering about or worrying about the Warriors. There we go. Rockets, Warriors. I'm going to start like spinning and tripping over my words here. But you have to, again, like this coming from the GM who's willing to go out and say all of this stuff rather than trying to, I don't know, work in the shadows almost, or just kind of stay behind closed doors and be content to, you know, how things go. It also shows that he's not happy necessarily with what's been going on because he wants to beat this team and knows that's the biggest hurdle. To him, his goal is to win a title. That's why he's here. For the New Orleans front office, can you say their main goal is to win a title? I'd say their main goal is to survive another year and to keep getting paid and to keep their jobs. And not that that shouldn't be the case for him. Everyone should want to keep their job, assuming you like your job. If you hate it, maybe not. But in this case, again, there's only 30 GM jobs. I can understand, and if I were in their position, I would do everything I could to keep that job, just as I'm sure Del Demps is and has done. But again, it just goes to show the difference here, and this was kind of on my mind after realizing these two teams played last night and hearing that a while back. Again, the transparency is there, the urge to win, a sense of urgency, and not just spinning the wheels. It's nice to see a franchise run that way because, frankly, right now, that's not what's going on in New Orleans. So that is definitely a big matchup between two teams in the Western Conference who are separated by mere, you know, like winning percentage points from the 1 and 2 seed. Make sure you get a recap of all of that and everything that's going on around the association over on the Locked On NBA podcast. Make sure you listen to that one and definitely subscribe. Get insight you're not going to get anywhere else around the NBA. So I rewatched a lot of last night's game again today against the Jazz, that 10-point win, because something about the rotations I thought was very telling in this game. And I checked with this website called popcornmachine.net, which has pretty good in-game game flow visualizations of it. We've talked a lot about the rotation and how I don't think really playing just 9 guys is going to cut it during the regular season for the Pelicans. Playing 9 guys in the playoffs is fine. Shoot, play 7 or 8 if you need to. You get your best guys out there because you've got to win those games. But over the season, you can see some of these heavy minutes wearing on some of the players here in New Orleans. And we've talked about how in certain spurts, Davis or Cousins are better and more efficient than if you let the minutes start to drag and wear on them. And that's what, you know, as the Pelicans, you've got to hope to avoid. And so playing 9 guys in a game really isn't going to help when one of those guys is Ian Clark just getting 6 minutes. So you're almost effectively playing an 8-man rotation when you're given DNPs to check Diallo and to Omer Asik, when those guys could come in and give guys some rest. If you look at the start of the fourth quarter, the Jazz basically went on a 9-0 run, and that 9-0 run lasted from basically the start of the fourth to about 8 minutes left in the game, so a 4-minute period there. They went on a 9-0 run. That coincides when Davis was out of the game getting a rest. DeMarcus Cousins on the court. DeMarcus Cousins played the whole fourth quarter. Davis didn't check in until basically 8 minutes after that 9-0 run, where the Pelicans completely then turned it around, went on their own 7-0 run right after to answer it. This is what they need to be doing, because that clearly stopped this run. But how many times have you seen Davis or Cousins come out of a game late or in the middle, not late really, but in the middle of the fourth quarter for a stretch to try and just get a breather because these guys have been kind of gassed? We've seen it you know, a number of times so far this season. So it's been kind of impactful in the way that, do you really need Anthony Davis playing the entirety of the third quarter, which he did last night, when maybe you can get him a bit of a breather there and get him to play the entirety of the fourth, where the Pelicans have been blowing fourth quarter leads numerous times this year? Again, this is all things we've seen. Maybe don't have him sit for the 4 minutes to start the fourth and instead the 4 minutes to end the third. Of course, DeMarcus Cousins sat during that stretch, so they're trying to keep one of these guys on the court kind of at all times. But still, I think you guys understand what I'm trying to say, because this has definitely been an issue for the team in these blown fourth quarter leads. But the question then is, if you don't have anyone behind these guys, another backup big that you trust to get some of these minutes to rest your big birds here, can you really do it? And I guess the answer to that is no. And that kind of leads us to a conundrum, because a lot of people were talking about Rondo's minutes last night. He did not play the second and fourth quarters, got in a good run. He played about, 15 minutes total, about 16 minutes. 8 minutes to start the first, 8 minutes to start the third, and then basically was benched after that. And if you watched him last night, his defense was very bad. When they took him out, the Pelicans basically were shutting down Donovan Mitchell during that stretch. So a good thing there, and allowed guys to bottle him up kind of in ways that hadn't really been done all season long, particularly in the second, where Holiday stayed in front of him almost the entire game, and you certainly know the Jazz would have tried to force a switch there to get a different defender onto Mitchell. When Rondo's on the court, that can be an issue. But so this leads the question of, do they really need a backup big, or maybe another guard, a lockdown defender guard, ideally? I don't think we call Tony Allen that anymore. And Rondo's defense is, you know, if anything, barely above, you know, acceptable at this point. He's not the defender that everyone seems to think, playoff Rondo. And if you really look at last night, he definitely was not playoff Rondo during that time. Jameer Nelson has been hurting the team more than helping recently. He was needed for a crucial stretch with Rondo out, but I don't know if his value's there as much anymore. And to let you guys in on a little bit of a secret that one of the writers over at Locked On Pelicans is working at, I can tell you wing play overall, in terms of opponents going out and scoring and doing all that, has not been a big issue for the Pelicans so far. They've really done a good job with all of that, minus, you know, the usual suspects that you would expect. So the question then becomes, after watching Rondo last night, do you want to go guard, or do you worry about these fourth quarter rotations and Davis and Cousins, you know, needing a breather and having to sit in a fourth and potentially a big lead or a run going off for an opponent in that sense? You know, again, it was a 9-0 run basically over about 3 to 4 minutes for the Jazz, which really cut the deficit to just 3 points, erasing that, you know, 10-point lead, whatever it was, 12-point lead there that the Pelicans had at the time, and putting all of a sudden the outcome of this game in jeopardy. So questions we're going to be asking more as we get further into the season and closer to the trade deadline. But something worth considering, because the Pelicans do need to be active on the trade front. You know, is a guard more important, or is a big? Because I don't think right now, based off the research I've seen from this unnamed writer who will be coming out with something at a later date and time as we look into this more and more, they really need to worry about wing play too much, particularly maybe with Solomon Hill providing you something as you get towards the season, though I don't know if it's going to be a lot. Speaking of LockedOnPelicans.com, don't forget, be sure you check that out daily, particularly on Fridays, where we have a roundtable every single week talking about the questions you want to know. We got a fun one up today. I don't want to spoil it for you, but make sure you go and check it out. Give us your opinion. Leave a comment on there. Hit us up on Twitter, any of the individual writers, myself, or even the website / podcast Twitter handle at LockedOnPels. All right, in the last segment here, I want to preview and just take a quick look at the game coming up this Saturday as the Pelicans take on the Minnesota Timberwolves over in Minnesota. Minnesota is going to be playing on the second night of a back-to-back. The game before this Friday, today, they're playing at Boston. So the Pelicans have a rest advantage here. And again, this is a team that's beat them twice so far, both times in kind of weird fashion, where the first game they held Karl-Anthony Towns to a career low in points, still couldn't get it done. Defense has been that bad. And in these games, they haven't played particularly great offensively either. Look, Minnesota tries to batter you and play you very physically, and what they want to do is be getting, you know, fouls called on the opponent, getting into the bonus, getting to the line, getting into the paint, scoring that way, and they certainly do a good job of it. They're not a tremendous three-point shooting team, but they play, again, like physical. They're going to score. They're going to get in the paint. Towns is going to do it. Taj Gibson is going to do that. Tyus Jones, who's been starting in the place of injured Jeff Teague, tries to drive and score that way too, though he has a bit of a jumper. They've got a, you know, backup big in Diang who can get out there and score. It's a team you've got to be kind of worried about because they can hit you in multiple facets even though you know what they're trying to do. Pelicans got to go right back at him in this game. I'm going to be honest. Look, this Minnesota team doesn't defend the three-point line very well. They're in the bottom third of the league when it comes to defending that and those marks. But if you want to take advantage of this team, you need to get these bigs and these guys in foul trouble. Get Towns in foul trouble, and Davis loves lighting him up. So this team needs to go out and light him up and to just batter him down low. Don't forget, that's how the Pelicans won and ended and sealed off that victory against the Jazz, was they finally went inside. They went after offensive rebounds. Minnesota isn't a great defensive rebounding team for as much as they try and play inside. They rank, again, 22nd overall in terms of defensive rebounding percentage. That's not that great. You got two bigs who clearly showed the other night they can be dominant on the offensive boards when given the chance. And clearly, this Minnesota team isn't throwing their bigs to grab that defensive rebound and corral those. I think you got to go at them in this game. I rarely like to, you know, really try and show keys to the game or how the team should win, because frankly they can win other ways and it doesn't really matter what I'm saying. I think you go at this team and I think you try and show them you're better than them by playing the same style of ball but doing it at a much more effective manner, because you have freaking Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Taj Gibson is good. He's cool. I have no problem with him. But overall, this isn't like a world beater type of player. He's not going to go out there and you know, you're like, oh man, if he beats you like he beats you, it's kind of that. I mean, he's averaging on the season 11.8 points per game. So clearly, you don't want him going off again and you want to try and force the ball into his hands. But stick it to this team. They are also, those fireworks going off around me. We're on the 4th of January and there's still fireworks everywhere in the bywater of New Orleans. Glad it wasn't gunshots. It's happened before. Look, this team's ahead of you in the standings. You need to try and make a statement to them. Minnesota going into this Boston game, I won't have the score of that by the time you guys are listening to this, and we're previewing it on a Friday when they play tonight. Minnesota's 24-15. New Orleans is 19-18. There's a bit of a gap in the standings there, but show them, hey, we're equal with you, or we think we're better than you, and we're starting to round into form, which the Pelicans have at times shown they're doing. But you kind of need to get a statement win over this stretch here. You had a three-game win streak over not good teams before dropping two games against not good teams and then beating like a mediocre at best right now Jazz team. Go get a statement victory and get some positivity on your side, some forward momentum, and get some confidence. This is a game they can do it in. They easily could have won that first matchup against Minnesota early on in the season when they held Towns to very few points. They just didn't. The most recent game was an 18-point loss for the Pelicans. Not ideal for the team, but hey, that was one where Davis left early. So go out and win this game and prove where you belong. Start to show people. It's now kind of the shut up and play part of the season. Hearing that we're rounding into form or we're starting to feel things come together, you've had enough time. We're almost halfway through. This is when you need to prove it, Pelicans. So go out and do so. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. That's going to do it for this week of Locked On Pelicans. Pelicans play Saturday again at Minnesota. We just covered that for you. Enjoy the game. Watch that. Don't forget, Pelicans playing back at home in the Smoothie King Center on Monday. Monday's podcast will, of course, preview that for you. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all next time.